Let's start with Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Hey. Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim ki barach ha'am, that it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had escaped. Vayafech l'vav paro v'avadav hela'am vayomur mazot asinu ki shilachnu et Yisrael me'avdeinu. And they said, his heart was turned around, him and his servants. So, you know, what is it that we've done that we have sent the Jews from being our servants? V'yasorit rechvo v'et amo lakach imo. He got ready the chariots and he took his people with him. V'yikach shesh me'ot rechev bachur v'cho rechev Mitzrayim v'shilishim al kulo. V'yachazek Hashem et leif paro melech Mitzrayim v'erdof acharei b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yad rama. So without translating every word, they are giving chase. V'yirdefu Mitzrayim achareihem v'yasigu otam chonim al hayam kosus rechav paro v'farashav v'chelo al pi hachirot l'fnei Baal Tzifon. And they catch up to them by this particular place. We've spoken about that place in the past. Uparu hikriv v'yisu b'nei Yisrael t'neihem b'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem. And obviously there is this moment of incredible fear, for they lift up their eyes and they see that that Egypt is upon them and Paro is there. The end of Pasuk Yud. Vayir'u ma'od, they are quite frightened. Vayitz'aku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, and the children of Israel cry out to God. Now, before we go further, is this crying out to God a positive thing, or is this crying out a negative thing? And we could easily interpret it two ways. Although, if I were to stop right here, I would not just be tempted. I would put forth and say that when man is troubled, when man is in trouble, when man finds himself in a precarious situation, the calling out to God is a positive thing. Quite the opposite. The calling out to God when a person is in a precarious situation is actually, later on in the Torah, we will find out this is a positive commandment. There's a big argument between the Rambam and the Ramban whether prayer every day is a positive commandment or not. Rav Soloveitchik, who spent a lot of time trying to explain this argument, came in and said basically the argument, they would both agree that if you're in a precarious situation, you pray, then you fulfill the positive commandment. And the argument is whether we are constantly in a precarious situation or not. If you feel every single day that we're really, and I guess when one really begins to think about all those who are perhaps plotting against us, or all those, or all the things in our own bodies that can rebel against us, and so on and so forth, a person could come to the conclusion that we really, truly, every day are in a precarious situation. If that's the case, then prayer on a daily basis is a Torah-mandated obligation. So over here, the fact that they see Egypt, they see Paro right there with all of their weaponry and all their advanced abilities to attack, basically these more primitive Jews, the fact that they turn to God would seem to be a positive thing. The problem is the next verse, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer al Moshe, they say to Moshe, Hamibli ein kvarim b'Mitzrayim? Is there a lack of graves in Egypt? Lakachtanu lamut b'midbar, that you had to take us out to die in the desert. Mazot asita lanu, what did you do to us? Lotzianu b'Mitzrayim, to take us out of Egypt. Now, the big question over here really is, what is the relationship between the crying out to God in Pasuk Yud versus the complaint that they articulate to Moshe in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Which means, is this essentially the same thing which is said, or are these two different things which are said? Correct. To say that this is coming from fear, we completely understand.
Sure. But the question is, what
correct. Yes.
The complaint is turned to Moshe, not Hashem.
Well, as I said, there's two things which are done. Vayitzaku. Correct. Vayitzaku. I know, but again, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They scream out to Hashem. So, what is the content of what they scream? That we're left, and we're not told. So let's continue. As pasuk yibed, halo zeh hadavar shedibarnu lechem b'mitzrayim leimor chadal mimenu v'na'avdat mitzrayim ki tov lano avodet mitzrayim mimutenu b'midbar. They say this is what we've been saying the whole time. It would have been better to be slaves and alive than to be dead in the desert. So we see that the complaint against Moshe, which both of you point out, we understand why they're complaining. We would probably prefer to remove the complaint from here, but we understand it. Vayomer Moshe la'am, al tira'u. Which, by the way, is a very staid response. Hityatzvu ur'u et Yeshuat Hashem. Asher yaseh lachem ayom, ki asher ra'item b'Mitzrayim ayom lo tosifu l'rotam od ad olam. The Egypt that you see today, you will never see again. Hashem yilachem lachem. God will fight for you. Vatem tacharishun. What does tacharishun mean? You're right. Basically, a nice way of saying, shut up. which is also very interesting. Because again, is this a response to Pasuk Yud, or is this a response to Pasukim Yud Aleph and Yud Bet? Pasuk Yud again, they scream out to God, which, as I said, we could have spun that in a positive light, or that could be something which is negative. But then the articulation that becomes in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Bet towards Moshe, Moshe responds, you know, God will do the fighting, you be quiet. Vayomar Hashem Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak alai. Now this is the first indication that we have that maybe there's a problem with what was said to Hashem. Again, back in Pasuk Yud, Ma titzak alai, daberu b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Speak to them and start to move. Va'ata, harem et matcha, lift up the staff, unite et yadcha, and stretch out your arm. By the way, is that the same arm or is it the other arm? That's not for today. Just a question. Al hayam uvakehu, and that will cause it to split. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. And the children of Israel will go, what does b'toch hayam b'yabasha mean? B'toch hayam b'yabasha. Again, translate means they will go in the b'toch hayam b'yabasha, in the midst of the sea, in the dry part. Well, v'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam. Well, you know, we just said a moment before, lift up your arm and you're going to split it. V'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha, and then Am Yisrael will be able to go in the midst of the sea, where it is nonetheless dry. V'ani hinani mechazik et leif paro v'yavo achareihim v'kabda b'paro v'chochilav v'chov v'rashav. And God says very clearly what's going to happen. God says very clearly that I'm going to split the sea, it's going to be dry, you'll be able to go through, and then furthermore, the Egyptians will follow afterwards, and then they're going to get theirs. So I'm saying the whole thing is really scripted. In source number 2, a little bit further in the same chapter. Vayet Moshe Yado al Hayam. So Moshe implements that which he is told. Vayolech Hashem et Hayam beruach kadim, and God causes this wind to blow azah kol halayla, which by the way is not the way it's depicted in the movies. Right, in the movies it happens instantly. Over here it seems to be much more of a gradual, again, that's what it says, that all night long there is this gradual wind, strong wind, which is blowing and blowing and blowing. V'yasim et hayam l'charava v'yivku amayim. And that then causes the sea to split and the water is split. So,
it's a natural thing that
happens. Look, the difference between a miracle and a non-miracle. No. The most important element of a miracle, it's the same thing as telling a joke. The most important thing is timing. When do you have to say the joke? You have to say it right before people laugh, right? So over here, it's the same thing. The timing is the most important thing here. If, as the Egyptians are chasing on them, and at that moment the sea splits and the Jews are able to go through, so you tell me if that makes it a miracle. But on the other hand, you're right, and that's why I was stressing it, is that the way it's being played out really sounds a bit more natural than the miraculous snap the fingers, lift the thing, and suddenly it happens. No, the wind is blowing all night. By the way, what would be the difference between the wind blow, realizing that this is more of a gradual thing, and then suddenly, you know, the water, and visually, you're watching this. You're watching the water, if you want, lower and lower and lower and lower and lower, till the point that there is dry land over there versus in a second. I think, if anything, it would give more confidence. I think, if anything, it would be a little bit easier to walk in. And we'll see some of the midrashim and what their considerations are in a minute. Okay, so it blows all night. Pasuk Kaf Bet. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. And once again, I ask you, so what does that mean? B'toch hayam b'yabasha. And once again, you're ignoring me. Okay, so they go in the sea in dry land. And now it says, v'hamayim lahem choma miyiminam umismolam. Now that sounds a bit more impressive, where the water then becomes, you know, spread out as a wall, which allows them to proceed. And they go chasing, and it's interesting because they go chasing otochayam. They go chasing into the sea. Okay. And now we skipped a little bit and went to source 13. Sorry, source 3. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, neteyat yadcha. This is pasuk avav, and Hashem says to Moshe, "I lift up your arm, alayam, v'yashuvu amayim, and return the water al Mitzrayim, al rechvo v'al parashav. The water should go on back on top of them. Vayet Moshe yado, alayam. Moshe lifts his hands on the water. Vayoshav ayam lefnot boker leitno, which means it blew all night, and now as the dawn is coming, u'Mitzrayim nasim lekroto v'yina'ar Hashem et Mitzrayim b'tochayam, and they get all mixed up with the water. V'yashuvu amayim, the water returns. V'yachasu et arechev et aparashim l'chol cheil paro ba'im achareim bayam lo nishar behim ad echad. And they could get completely submerged within the water and none remain. U'vnei Yisrael holchu, and the children of Israel walk v'yabasha b'toch hayam. Now, again, I'll ask you to translate that. Okay, now it's become reversed. Now it says that, how are they going? Bayabasha betochayam. So we'll pick on shu. Hachu biyabasha betochayam. So again, is that the same thing as the way it was described before? The first two times, before it happened and when it happened, it was described as they will go betochayam biyabasha, and then it says that they went, in fact, betochayam biyabasha, and now it says that they go biyabasha betochayam. V'amayim lahem chomam yiminam u'smonam, and the water is for them a wall. Vayosha Hashem bayomahu Yisrael mimyam Mitzrayim vayaris el tzmai meit el svat hayam vayaris el tayagdash Hashem Mitzrayim vayir Hashem ha'am et Hashem vayaminu ba'Hashem uv Moshe avdo. By the way, I think the word avdo there is very significant. All the people then had faith, and they had faith in God and Moshe his servant, which means not that they had faith in Moshe as the miracle performer, but Moshe as a servant of God. They realized that it was God's hand, and therefore Moshe avdo. They had faith of Moshe as a servant, not as some kind of a... Right. And I think that's very significant. Source number 4. Next chapter. This is in the midst of our Shira, of the Oz Yashir.
Can I ask a happy question?
No.
Well, I'm going
to
ask.
Okay.
Has anybody ever come up with the idea that, oh, what a cruel thing to do to all the material? We're all evil. I mean, why kill them all? All the ones that came chasing.
War is hell. What do you have an army, you're chasing somebody, so even if you're right that not all the Egyptians are terrible, even if you're right about that, which just following orders, okay. Even if you... I just get the kids to ask. Even if you're right that the Egyptians are not as bad as their reputations are.
Well,
so
if they are, that's not the issue that I'm asking.
Well, okay, you know what? We'll
say.
We'll
say. All be killed.
We'll say. We'll say.
The, chasing after the Jews.
No, they're under orders. You know what? If somebody innocent, unfortunately, gets killed in a time of war, then you can call it, unfortunate, collateral damage. Over here, it's a little harder to use the word collateral damage when you're talking about an army that's chasing you to kill you. So over here, basically, the army's chasing the Jews to get them, and God drowns those attacking us. So you're saying, well, I feel bad for them. Okay.
I don't feel bad for them. I'm asking a question.
So even if one does feel bad for them, so it's... If somebody comes to kill you, then you kill them first.
But the question is whether it was all 1,700 of them or whatever number there was, or was it some of them?
Okay, let's just look at this. Source of them, we'll look at some of the commentaries in Midrashim. Source 4, Kivasus, this is already in the Shira, Kivasus paro berchov roshav b'yam, v'yashav Hashem aleim et mei hayam, God returned the water on them, uvnei Yisrael helchu b'yabasha betoch hayam. And the children of Israel, they went in the dry land, betochayam. Right. So therefore, it's two and two. Two times it said the other way, and two times it said this way. Vatikach Miriam neviya achot Aaron et ataf biyada, vatetzena kol nashim achareh betupim uvonchalot. And Miriam then took the sister of Aaron, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the, what's a tof? In her hands, and all the women followed her. Betupim u'machalot, v'ta'an lahim Miriam, and Miriam said to them, "Shiru l'Hashem kigo ga'asus v'chor v'rabayam." And there's an argument whether that's all she says, which therefore would be the shira in a concentrated form, or she says that the rest of the shira. Now, how would we account for the different formulations, namely? Is it Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha, or is it b'yabasha b'toch hayam? I do want to point out that both times it refers to b'yabasha b'toch hayam, on a technical level, both times it uses the latter formulation. Again, before they're told what to do, they're told they will go b'toch hayam b'yabasha, and that's in fact the way that it's described. The only time that it's described the other way, b'yabasha b'toch hayam, is after the water is already returned and the Egyptians are now being attacked, and then it's described that they're b'yabasha b'toch hayam because at this point the yam has returned. Why is the yam returned? Because now the Egyptians are being drowned within the yam, which means when they go through, we have the gradual wind blowing the whole night to the point that now even though there was a yam here, now there's yabasha, right? So therefore, what does it say that they do the first time? They go b'toch hayam b'yabasha, right? And afterwards, the water is returned. Then it's b'yabasha b'toch hayam. And I'm just saying, as far as pshat goes, that seems to be consistent. Yes.
Before they enter the sea.
Yes.
Before they enter the sea splits.
Yes.
What they see in the sea.
Are you sure?
They get a promise that there's going to be a land inside the sea. That's what they visualize.
Okay. So let's
now
take.
After they enter, what they visualize is the yabasha.
Okay.
That's what they are walking.
Okay. Let's take a look at how the midrashim play some of this. Look at source number 5 in Shemot Rabbah. V'yavu b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. Okay. B'toch hayam b'yabasha. Im b'yam lama b'yabasha. V'im b'yabasha. Lama b'toch hayam. Basically, as we noted, I mean, which one is it? Is it dry land or is it water? Elamikana talamad shelo nikra lahem hayam ad shebo l'tocho ad chutman v'achar kach nase lahem yabasha. That not only did they visualize, as you said, that they saw the water, he claims that actually there had to be an act of heroism, an act of trust, and they went in, and the water was literally up to the nostrils, you know, to the point of practically drowning until it was split. So that's the way that it's described in Shemot Rabbah. Again, you can go back to the Pesukim and decide if that really.
But that doesn't make sense if it was a gradual process.
Correct. Correct. So here you have an attempt by the Midrash to heighten the level of heroism which was required to go into it. Look at source number 6, where this is from the Gemara, and especially if you're familiar with the second half of 6, you probably are not familiar with the first half of 6. Titania was learned in a Braita. Hayur of Meir Omer, Kisha Amundu Yisrael Ayam, when the Jews stood by the sea, Hayo Shvatim Menatzchim Zedzeh, the tribes were fighting with one another. Ze Omer Aniya Reid Chila Liyam, Ze Omer Aniya Reid Chila Liyam, quite the opposite of what we would think. And by the way, the advantage of what Rav Meir is saying over here is this does fit in better with the way it's described in the Chumash. Because in the Chumash, again, you noticed it already, that the wind blows all night and it causes basically a new channel. It changes the structure of the water. So when you look at it, then there's dry land. So Rav Meir is saying, so therefore, basically each tribe is saying, I want to go first. Kafat shifto shel Binyamin. Ah, so you're not familiar with this. Binyamin then goes and jumps forward. V'yarad liyam tchila. They go first. Shene Amar, as it says, Binyamin tse'ir rodem, al tikir rodem, ela red yam. Vayusara Yuda rogmim otam. And the officers or the leaders of Yuda started throwing rocks at them. Because, you know, who are you to go first? Shene'emar, and he quotes from Tehillim, Sara Yuda ragmatam. Laficha zacha binyamin atzadik v'na'ase ushpizchin ligvura. And that's the reason, because of Binyamin's heroism, that's the reason why the Kodesh HaKadoshim will end up being by the part of Binyamin. So look, let's think about what we know. We do know that eventually the Kodesh Kodeshim will be by Binyamin. There are other reasons we could put forward why this would be the case. Over here, this Midrash is connecting Binyamin's heroism with the reason why eventually it's built in their place. Amr lo Rebbe Yehuda. Of course, you have to note that it's Rebbe Yehuda who will be talking about Shevet Yehuda. Amula Rebbe Yehuda, who's he talking to? Rabbi Meir. He goes, no, I disagree. Amula Rebbe Yehuda, lo kacha yamasa. He goes, that's not how it went down. Elaze omer, ein ani yared tchila liyam. Vize omer, ein ani yared tchila liyam. One tribe said, I'm not going first. Another tribe said, I'm not going first. So what we noticed over here is perhaps a difference between our collective memory about how it must have been versus the way the Pesukim seem to describe it is really the different opinions between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir seems to be saying that it was really very simple to do and therefore tribes are fighting who's going to go first. And Yemen jumps in before anybody else has the chance and Yehuda yells at him, who are you to go first? Now, one second, there's a little background to this I still need to explain that I haven't explained yet. And then Rav Yehuda says, no, what are you talking about? No one wanted to go first. So he makes it seem like a much more frightful scene, and no one wanted to go. Ze omer ein ani yared tchila liyam, ve ze omer ein ani yared tchila liyam, kofetz nachshon ben aminadav, ve yared liyam shene amar, and again he quotes a verse over here in Hosea, sivavuni bekacha shefrayim, uve mirma beit Yisrael, ve Yehuda od rad im el. And then it further says, Oshia lokenu kiva umayim ad nafesh, Tavati bivein mutzula ve'ein ma'amad. Botosha ya Moshe ma'arich bitfila. Now this is also very interesting. You'll tell me what this is referring to. And as all this was happening, what was Moshe doing? Not just praying. It used another word. It didn't just say praying. Ma'arich bitfila. If I would say that Moshe was makatzer bitfila, tell me a time when Moshe is makatzer bitfila. Right. When Miriam is struck. Stricken? Right. Kel na rafan Allah. I mean, people, every week in shul, people get up and they make a Misha Berach, and then sometimes people don't know the name, the mother's name. You know, are you allowed to say a Misha Berach without knowing the mother's name? So what's the best proof that you can? Kel na rafan Allah. Moshe did not make a Misha Berach for and say, Miriam bat Yochevich, Yeruf Ushlema, Kel na rafan Allah. And I suspect that lots of shuls should incorporate that particular tefillah. It's very quick and it was actually very effective. That worked immediately. So that would be an example when Moshe was mikatzer b'tfila, that Moshe said a very short prayer. What about over here? It says, ba'oto shaya Moshe ma'arich b'tfila. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu yididai. What does yididai mean? My friend. Tovim bayam. The Jews are already starting to drown. V'ata ma'arich b'tfila lefanai. And you think this is a good time to pray? Amar lefanav ribono shalolo, ma biyadi lasot. And Moshe says, what can I do? Amar lo, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Speak to the Jews and start going. Vata herimit matcha v'natei et yadcha. Lift up the staff and stretch out your arm. Lefichach zacha Yehuda lasot memshalah b'Yisrael. That's why Yehuda was zoche to become a leader. Shenemar, as it says, Hayta Yehuda l'kodsho Yisro mamshalotav. Ma tam Hayta Yehuda l'kodsho Yisro mamshalotav mishum dayam ra'a v'yanas. Now, this thing about Moshe praying, and God says, stop praying and do something already. First of all, you have to love that. No? Action, not words. Exactly. But at which point in the narrative is it? If we go back to source number one, the people scream to Hashem. And then they say to Moshe, are there no graves? And then, Pasuk Gimel, and Moshe says, Al Tiro, Tiatsuru, it's you, Yeshua, Hashem, and so on. Right? Hashem Yilachem Lechem, Atem Tacharishun, you will be quiet. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Matitzakalai. Now, Matitzakalai, who's that referring to? Is that referring to what Am Yisrael were praying in Pasuk Yud? Why would you say it's not referring to Am Yisrael? It's Lashon Yachid. Vayom Hashem Moshe Matitzakalai. Daberu b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Meaning this is where the Medrash gets it from Moshe. It's not the time to pray. Action. Right? There's a time to pray. I know that all people will tell you. What?
But none of these work with the gradual.
No, the first one does. The one with Binyamin does. Yeah, but no, there it says each one wanted to jump in first. Why would they want to jump in first? Apparently there was less fear. Apparently there's less
fear.
Apparently there's no fear at that point. I'm saying no fear would work better with the gradual division. That's what it seems to me. In source number 7, it brings another consideration. And this is what some of you... And it is an unbelievable solution to the consideration that will deserve a separate treatment at some point. I don't know when, but certainly not today.
Which is the most Mikubal?
That Nachshon jumped in.
Huh?
That Nachshon jumped in.
That they didn't want to jump in.
Correct.
So
correct.
More compatible with their
correct.
Behavior until now.
Correct. Source number 7. Kach b'shoshe yatsuyu Yisrael Mitzrayim. When the Jews left Egypt, Amad Samael Hamalach. Now, Samael is this force of... What? Very bad. Very bad. The angel of Esav, actually. There are even those who won't pronounce his name because they would not want to bring the forces into the room. I'm sorry. He stood up lekatreg otam to serve as a prosecuting attorney against them. Omer lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Adach Shav Hayu Eila Ovdim Avodat Kochavim, Vata Korea Lahem Atayam. Which means he's standing and says, "Why are you saving the Jews? I know you're more familiar with Eilu Avdei Kochavim, Eilu Avdei Kochavim." He says, "The Jews are undeserving of your salvation. Why are you doing this?" Now, I really just underlined that. I was going to skip the rest of it. I will give you the answer, but just for some other time, as I said. Masa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masar Lo Iyov. He gave to this evil force, to the Satan, as it were, he gives him Iyov, Shehaya Miyotzei Paro Dechtiv Bo Ish Tam V'yashar. Amar Lo, Hino B'yadcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shehu Mitasekim Iyov, Yisrael Olam Liyad V'yardim. V'ach Kach Hatzilat Iyov. Basically, he gives him Iyov to play with, and that's when Iyov suffers through all that he suffers. So he says, by the time that the Satan is finished with Iyov, the Jews already would have been saved. That is one of the opinions that Iyov lived, was one of Paro's advisors. Now, this is absolutely unbelievable. So as I said, I'm not touching this. באותו שעה אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה, משה, הרי מסרתי איוב לשטן, מה בידך לעשות? דבר בני ישראל וייסעו. Stop complaining and go. I gave the devil his due. That's really what it says. I gave the devil his due. He's got Eov to play with, and therefore, this is explaining all of Eov's suffering and so on, goes back at this point, that Eov becomes the korban, so that Am Yisrael is able to leave Egypt and to get through the sea. As I said, that is obviously something which deserves its own attention, but not right now. Source number 8, Amar of Yehuda bar Eli, Lo dayim sha'avar imo tsalmo shel micha, Elishayu makishin klape mala dvarim shenemar, asher padita lacham mitzrayim goyim ve'elohav. V'kahaynu amar v'yamru al yams v'yam suf. Now, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, first thing that he says is that Am Yisrael smuggled out of Egypt the tselem of Micha. Now, those of you not familiar with the Tselem of Micha, first of all, this is very difficult to say that what's being described over here has anything to do with the Pshat. The Tselem of Micha actually makes its appearance in source number 10. Vayakimu lahem b'nei Dan et ha-pasel, v'yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, who actually baby ben Moshe, hu v'anav v'yukonim l'shevet ha-dani ad yom galut ha-aretz, v'yisum lahem et pesel micha sh'asa kol yimeyot beit Elohim b'shilo. It was a Vodah Zorah that was done by Shevet Dan in Sefer Shoftim. If you're interested, read Perek Yud Zayin and Perek Yud Chet in Sefer Shoftim. And there was this Avodah Zarah that was made. It was called Pesel Micha. It was worshipped by Shevet Dan. And it's made in Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, and worshipped in Shoftim, Perek Yud Chet. So it's very difficult to understand how it was smuggled out of Egypt. Later on, Pesel Micha will make an appearance. For those of you who do not recall, it will make an appearance in Rashi regarding the eagle. Rashi will tell us that when Aaron says V'yatza Egel Azeh, we'll say that they threw Pesel Micha into the mix, and when Pesel Micha was thrown into the mix, what emerges out of this is the Egel Azav. Now, again, to throw Pesel Micha into the Egel is somewhat understandable, not in a literal sense, because as I said, it just wasn't made yet. To say that Pesel Micha, the forces that will one day create a Pesel Micha, especially when you notice that those responsible over here are, what was the name that was given? Yehonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe. And as I said, there's a claim there that that's Gershom ben Moshe, that this is coming from Moshe's family, this same Avodah Zarah. You ever say, okay, what happened to Moshe's children and grandchildren? This is one of the suggestions that they became involved in Avodah Zarah, which is not all that complimentary. But as I said, what in the world are we doing over here bringing in Pesel Micha when they cross the sea? Now, to understand what this Midrash is talking about, I want to turn to page number 5. And what you have is, I scanned from this book called Pninim Mishulchan Hagra. Okay, so you can all see the book over here. Pearls from the Table of the Vilna Gaon. That's what the book that you have scanned on page 5 and 6. And let's take a look at a couple of things that are quoted in the name of the Gra. It's actually, there is somebody who listens to many of my classes who kept bothering me about this Gra, so he wanted me to speak about it. So I think after 4 or 5 years of him bothering me, so I told him I was going to do it this way. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha v'mayim l'mchomam b'yiminam u'mismolam. On page 5. Mipiyash shmua, we heard, we have a tradition. La'alam b'pasuk kavtet k'tziv v'nei Yisrael achu b'yabasha b'toch hayam v'mayim lahem chomam b'yiminam u'mismolam v'yesh l'va'er. Amayshi nu alashon. The mikodem k'tiv dochu bnei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. V'acharezek k'tuv shohochu b'yabasha b'toch hayam. So, which one is it? Mikodem b'yabasha v'acharezek b'toch hayam. ועוד יש לדקדק, למה כתוב שתי פעמים, על בני ישראל דחו בים, וגם כפל הלשון, דהמים להם חומה מינם ומשמאלם. Shamati Omrim. So basically the question is, as we already noted, that it says, actually twice, it says that, is it B'toch HaYam B'Yabasha, B'Yabasha B'toch HaYam, which one is it? Shamati Omrim B'Shem HaRav Hai Gaon Rash Kebahag. Do you know the Rash Kebahag? It's even better than Shlita. Rash Kebahag means the leading light of the entire diaspora. Okay, that's what Rash Kebahag. Morenu Eliyahu Zatzal Mivilna, Denikra Hamgon Mivilna, Bipi Kol. So I have a tradition. So basically, this is something being quoted in the name of the Gra. The person says, "I have a tradition from the Vilna Gaon." Diyesh Ladakdek Od. Furthermore, you should pay attention. Dekan Bemikra Ktiv Choma Imvav Vachareza Bepasuket Kavtet Ktiv Choma Belivav. So it's two things. One is that the first time it says Choma. And when there it says B'toch HaYam B'Yabasha, and then it says B'Yabasha B'toch HaYam, but it says Choma without a Vav. Ach b'met hinei ha'kol ala nachon. Dayu b'nei Yisrael shnei kitot. There was more than one group of Jews, which means the Jews were not necessarily unified. It's more than one group. What? Right, some things don't never change. I won't say which side is which, but you guys have elections on Tuesday. Somebody I saw actually was hoping that I would talk about the elections today.
You but, can tell us next
time when
we won't be here.
That's right. So I'm not talking about them. But we see that there's two sides. Echad anashim tzadikim ma'aminim ba'ashem uba'alei bitachon. There were those who were tzadikim who believed in God and those who had trust in God. Hochu tekef biyam ad kibo mayim ad nafesh. They went into the water bitoch hayam, which means those who had faith went into the water itself while it was still water, and they went up till the water was up to their, you know, to the nostrils. Kide'ita b'midrash, as it says in Midrash, and the footnote of and the parentheses, it makes reference to the Gemara that we quoted. Actually, we saw in the Gemara there were two opinions there, but this is the opinion that followed Rabbi Yehuda. The kofetz nachshon rishon l'toch hayam, that nachshon then jumps into the water, ulchein haya l'nisiyut harishon, and that's why he becomes the leader. V'acharei ze halchu kol shevet Yehuda, and then the entire shevet Yehuda follows nachshon. The itam in midrash, but there's also, it says in midrash, the shalum b'mayim manashtu elu me'ela, that it was questioned from above, what's the difference between these and these? What's the difference between the Jews and the Egyptians? Right? Elu avdo zara, v'elu avdo avdo zara. Dimitraim tavu b'yam uvnei Yisrael olchim. Why should the Egyptians drown and the Jews be saved? Halalu ovdei avodah zarah, v'halalu ovdei avodah zarah. So why should there be any advantage of the Jews over the Egyptians? V'yishiv lem Hashem yitbarach, zchut ha'emunah v'bitachon kedai lahem. The Jews, even though they may have been guilty of avodah zarah, they still, the fact that they have emunah, that's very interesting, that emunah and avodah zarah are not necessarily mutually exclusive, but the fact that the Jews have emunah and bitachon, trust in God, that's enough for them to be saved at this point. Which means,
like
yeah, which means the fact that Nachshon jumps in the water, we don't know what Nachshon did or did not do beforehand, but the fact that he says, okay, we're going, God said, we're going, and he jumps in, that is why the Jews are saved. Im kem ati shapir, therefore it said properly, dechtiv gabe b'nei Yisrael, shelchu b'toch hayam mikodim emunah v'tachon, regarding the first group that goes in, because these are people who have trust, V'achareza yubi yabasha, and then they jumped into the yam, and then it becomes the yabasha afterwards, which I do again have to point out, does go against what I think is the pshat of the psukim, in terms of all night long, the winds that are blowing. Shapu yuvalehem hamayim choma, and therefore for them, the water was truly a choma. What does choma mean now? A wall. Mamash. One second. Not yet. Mamash kichoma. Aval hakat hashniya fishuli. The second cut, the other side, deloyu maminim kolkach ad shiru b'neim ayabasha. They were not able to have trust in God until they saw the sea that was split and that it had become dry land. Lekach kativ aleihem, about them it says, b'nei Yisrael achu b'yabasha b'toch hayam. They only went in once it was dry. And what did it say about them? Lefichach hayu amayim lehem choma, and here the vav is missing. Kimo de Darash Bamidrash, de Meluamak Trigim Chema al Bnei Yisrael. The word Chema, what does that mean? It means really more like disgust towards Am Yisrael. That's where the question is posed. Which means the question, according to this, is posed not on the first group, but it's posed against the second group. That's the Chema, which asks, what's the difference between these people and these people? But not about the first group. The Gam Emunah in Lahem. They don't even have Emunah. Vati Shaper Hetev. And it works in perfectly in our Torah, and then there's a bunch of little words over here which tells you various people who have said this in the name of the Gra over the years. Lakuta Yosef al Torah, the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Prager, the Evan Yeshba, Yaman Epstein, Ukiyotzi Bezekfar, the Ohel Yaakov, the Magid Midubna, who actually was a colleague of the Vilna Gaon, Parshat Naso, B'Shem Rabbeinu, which means it takes it back to somebody who knew the Gra in his lifetime and actually quotes it in the name of the Gra. And he also makes a note that the Kli Yakar makes this observation before. There's somebody else who may have made this observation before, but we'll come to him soon. First, turn to page 6, where we have this almost the same thing being said over again. Kan Ktiv Choma Malay. Over here it says Choma written with the Vav. Ulahanlan Pasuk Keftat Ksiv Bnei Yisrael Alchu B'Yabashabatochayam V'Mayim Lem Choma Ktiv Chaser Vav. It's written Chaser without the Vav. V'yesh l'va'er atam, and we need to explain the reason, mishum de'ita, she'pesel micha avar imam b'yam. And he says the reason that the second time it says chema means, chema, we find this by Haman, right? Haman, chema, he has this disgust, right? It's disgust towards more, it's disgust. Why would it be called chema the second time? So it says, she'pesel micha avar imam b'yam, because the idolatry of micha was together with them in the water. K'moshe ne'amar, v'avar b'yam tzara. V'lo sha'pesel ba'atzmo avar imahim, and it's not that the pesel itself was with them, ki ha'pesel nasa b'imei ha'shoftim. Because we know the pesel was created much later. We know this idolatry was created later on in time of shoftim. Ach ha'kavana sh'machshivatam hayta la'avodah zara, u'v'avodah zara ha'kodesh baruch matzarif machshava l'maaseh. But rather, the philosophy of idolatry, the outlook of idolatry, the fear that they had at this point, and basically as the second group is going through, they're asking them themselves, do you have an idol with you? We need some kind of an idol in order to have some kind of trust. He's saying is that no. When it says Pesel Micha was with them, it doesn't mean it's with them, as I said before, in a literal sense. It means it on a literary sense. It's there in terms of a theme. It's there in terms of in their hearts that Pesel Micha is there. And then he adds, "V'yadua sheshevet Dan halach ba'achrona sheneemar ma'asaf l'kol ha'machanot." And he goes, and we know that Shevet Dan was the last one to go through. Now, this is something which is very interesting, and I want to explain a little bit what we just now saw. Two things. One, turn to source 17 on the bottom of page 4. This was referenced before in the Midrash, but I want you to see it clearly. This is in Tehillim 106, Kuvav. Avotenu b'mitzrayim lo hiskilu niflotecha, lo zachru et rov chasadecha, v'yamru al yam b'yam suf. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multiple of your deeds of loving kindness, and they rebelled against you at the sea, the Red Sea. We have a pasuk in Tehillim. Again, this is not a commentary. We have a pasuk in Tehillim telling us that the Jews rebelled as they were crossing the sea. Meaning, when the Medrash says that, oh, this is Pesel Micha, there's Avodah Zarah with them when they're crossing, the motivation for saying this is this pasuk. This is what was quoted. The Jews rebelled against God as they were crossing through the Red Sea. Now, that's something you have to ask. Where did we see the Jews rebelled against God as they're crossing through the sea? When they're crossing through the sea, you would think they come out the other side, they're saying Shira. Where exactly do we see the rebelling? So that's one thing I want you to take note of. The other thing that he's referring to is in source number 9. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is that a coincidence?
It's, you can call it a coincidence. It's names get repeated. Source number 9 says, V'nasal degel machane ben edam ma'asef l'kol ha'machanot l'tzivotam v'altzivotam achi ezer ben amishadai. This verse is a verse which describes the various machanot. If you pay attention to the formation of the machanot in the Midbar, the one which was furthest to the top of the camp was Yehuda, flanked by, if I'm not mistaken, by Yisachar and Zvulun. Yehuda is the first camp. The bottom camp, right? You get what? Right. So whichever way you want to face, but that's the first. It's the first camp in the direction that they're marching is Yehuda. The camp which is diametrically opposed is the one of Dan, which is, and it's called Ma'asef Kol Machanot, and all the hangers on end up following off with Dan, and that's described. Dan being north. Yeah, you have to look at it. Right, you have to look at it on the angle. Dan is Ma'asef the Kol Machanot, and therefore all the hangers-on end up going with Dan, and Dan is last. So the formation of marching that we find in the desert, which again, this is in Sefer Bamidbar, so the Vilna Gaon is assuming that if Yehuda goes first, then the formation they're going to end up having in the desert will end up following the formation that they end up having over here by going to the sea. And Yehuda being first, therefore, is echoed by Yehuda being first in the desert. And Dan, therefore, would be last. Now, what's the significance of Dan being last? That means, A, that Dan is the last one to go in. Now, what did the Vilna Gaon also tell us? That there were different kitot. There were different groups in terms of philosophy. The first ones are the believers, and the last ones are the least believing. Who are the least believing then? So you would end up really having Dan and the Erev Rav, or the last ones going in. The heir of Rav are the ones we end up blaming afterwards anyway for the Avodah Zarah, again, mixed up with Dan. And later on in the Navi, we find Dan is the one that has Pesel Micha with them. So the Vilna Gaon is using all this information together. He's therefore visualizing how to go through. They go through, as we know, they will march later on, the same formation. Yehuda first, therefore Dan last. And Dan last, therefore Dan is the one who's accused. One second. Dan is the one who's accused of creating Pesel Micha later on in Sefer Shoftim. And he's saying is that the Pesel, which is formed later on, already has its antecedents philosophically now, and Shevet Dan is part of these non-believers because they're not willing to go in until the water becomes dry. So that is the Vilna Gaon's, the way that he visions it and how he got to the conclusion that he got to. Yeah. He's connecting it to tribes, and therefore he says, that's how he's connected. Right, so therefore he says, Yehuda goes, Nachshon goes first, and all of Yehuda follows him. Who's last? All of Dan, with these thoughts of Pesel Micha, which don't come to fruition till later on in time. And he would say that it comes to fruition by the Eagle as well, as I said. That also we find Pesel Micha being represented there. Let's go back to now page number 6. We saw him making the distinction, and he says, and therefore Shevet Dan goes last. Va'af ki ha'dgalim, second paragraph on page 6, va'af ki ha'dgalim l'seder masot nikvu lehem rak achar zman mitzaytam mitzrayim, even though the formation of the flags is created later, mikol makom misoret haita biyadam mi'avoteyem shekach yaseder halichatam, even though it's formed later, and by the way, the formation of the camps is already, according to some midrashim, created by Yaakov Avinu around his bed. And Yaakov tells them, this is the way you should carry my remains into the land of Israel. And he already gives them that formation. He doesn't say that here. Yehuda milafnim, Yehuda goes first, v'dan me'achor, and Dan goes last. Kamo shekatuv ba'otot le'beit avotam. Yadu shekasher bo'ah ha'mitzrim b'yam, mitzad zeh adayin Yisrael b'yam, mitzido ha'sheni b'dakaram letzeit b'yam. And when the Egyptians come in, the last couple of Jews are coming out, and that's going to be, he's going to claim from Shevet Dan. Mi'ata mituratz b'tov tam b'pasuk ha'rishon shama v'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch ha'yam b'yabasha, she'Yisrael yu b'toch ha'yam, u'b'nei Dan ochum achareim ha'yu adayin b'yabasha. L'kach kativ ha'mayim lehem choma, malei, when the tzaddikim already left the water, and then only Dan remains below, v'utzrachu machanedan l'nes lavur betoch hayam, and they needed a miracle, hayah hakitrug eich yaseh kodesh baruch hu nes. And then the question comes, how can God do a miracle for them? Because they're also idolaters. Acheri ki ha-tor va'imam, because this disgusting thing, this idolatry is with them. Zeh sh'amar v'nei Yisrael holchu b'yabasha, hu haketzah harishon me'ashvatim shekfar hayu b'yabasha. V'achronim ayu adayin betoch hayam, az amayim lehem chema, chaser kloma chema v'kas mirov hakitrug. So, the Vilna Gaon has in his mind two different groups. Let me show you who the first one who actually, as far as I could tell, suggested this. This goes back to source number 16. The answer, he didn't, and therefore the Mayim Halam Chema. It was really, in a sense, disgusting. Yeah, it was that it was not so clear. Look at Source 16. This goes all the way back on what we noted in the very beginning. Again, just to repeat, when we looked in Source number 1, we find in Pasuk Yud, the Egyptians are coming, they're trapping them down. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And the Jewish people scream out to God, which I raised the question right then, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? It seems good to pray to God. And then Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Vayomer Moshe, we believe ain kvarim Mitzrayim. They start, you know, this whole litany of complaints that we become accustomed to over time. Are there no graves in Egypt? You had to take us out to die over here. We would have better off been slaves, and we told you from the beginning, and what are you doing, and why do you do this to us? And so on and so forth. So we see this dichotomy. They scream to God, but then they, which may be a good thing, and then they scream to Moshe. Well, look at what the Ramban points out in Source 16. V'yiru ma'od v'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, v'yomu Moshe, m'b'li ein kfarim b'mitzrayim, einenu nira ki b'nei ha'adam atzoakim l'Hashem l'hoshiyem, yivatu b'yishua sh'asar lahem, v'yomu ki tov lehem shelo itzilam. It doesn't make any sense that those who screamed out to God to save them would then start complaining. Aval ha'nachon sh'nifereish ki yayu kitot. The Ramban says the proper interpretation is there was more than one group at the time. V'katuv yisaper kol masha asu kulam. And therefore the Torah is telling you what each one did. Amar ki akat ha'echat so'eket el Hashem, v'achat macheshet b'nevi'o ve'enu modeh b'yishua ha'na'asim lahem, v'yom ha'kitov lahem shelo etzilam. He says Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph are being said by two different groups. Pasuk Yud are the tzaddikim who are turning to God, God, okay, please save us. And they believe that God will save them, and therefore it is the religious response right before they're about to jump in the water. Nachshon says a little bit of Tehillim and then jumps in. I hope not the part that says that they rebelled against God in the water, and you know, and he prays to God and they then jump in. But the other group is the group that complains to Moshe and says, we would have been better off dying in Egypt, and what in the world are you doing? And we told you from the beginning not to take us out. Which means the Ramban is telling us, and from the very beginning we didn't understand how Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph, how they go together. Because Pasuk Yud, they scream to God, sounds like a positive thing. Pasuk Yud Aleph, when they scream to Moshe, sounds like a negative thing. So look what the Ramban tells us. It's not the same people. It's that one group prays and the other group complains. Which is also a very interesting observation by the Ramban. So now you realize that the Vilna Gaon working through the rest of the narrative with the two different groups is actually explaining what the Ramban already tells us over here. Now there's maybe one more element to this, which will ruin for you something else. And I'm actually sorry for saying this, especially in Matan. I'm not supposed to say such things. You won't tell anyone. At the very end of source number 4, back on page 1, Perek Tedvav Posakaf, it says, V'tikach mirim neviya achot aron et ataf biyadev v'teitzene kol enashim achare v'tupim u'mchalot. So what does she do? She takes, is it drums or tambourine in hand? Right? They dance. Vata'an lahem Miriam shiru lashem kigoga. And you know, the first one word which is problematic is vata'an. What does the word vata'an mean? What does the word vata'an mean? It means to respond. Vata'an is a response. To say that it's involved in some kind of song, I understand why somebody would say that. But vatan means, okay, we'll see in a second, the Mefarshim having difficulty with ta'an. The second word that Mefarshim have difficulty with is vatan lahem. What does lahem mean? To them, masculine, which means what should have it have said? It should have said lahem. It should have said lahem. Just to note that this is something which the various Mefarshim are troubled with. Look at 12 on page 3, Rashi on that pasuk. Vata'an lahem Miriam, Moshe amar shira la'anashim, hu amar vehem onin acharav, which is what you mean, vata'an is a responsive singing, and they respond. Umiriam amra shira la'anashim. And Miriam says the shira la'anashim. Now, there's only two problems with Rashi. One is, if she is saying shira, by the way, it's interesting. Amrat shira l'nashim. It doesn't say sings, but I'm not sure how important that is. Miriam amrat shira l'nashim, and shira also may not be song as much as poetry, right? It could also mean it's praise. They say praise. Doesn't necessarily literally be singing, but you notice Rashi says that she says it to the. Look at source number 13. Vata'an lahim. Well, who knows? Look at source 13. Vata'an lahim Miriam, tema, hayelo lomar, lahen. It should not have said lahim. It should have said lahen. Halashon musav al anashim. Right? If she's speaking to the women, it should have said lahen. V'amarli, harav, I don't know who that is, sheyesh b'midrash, sha'amu hamalachim l'kadosh baruch hu, bonu sholom, himikdimuno anashim lomar shira, takdimuno anashim, bitmia. He goes, if the men, the angels started to complain to God. By the way, here's this theme again of the angels wanting to sing. So, and here's where, according to one midrash, God says, listen, my children are drowning, and how can you say sure? Over here it says, the men beat you to it, now the women are going to beat you to it. So, vatan lehem Miriam, Miriam says to the angels, shiru, lehem is to the angels. Vatan lehem Miriam, shiru tchil v'achach nashim. So fine, you sing first and then we'll sing. And that's vatan, which means, he understands the vatan is response lahem. Who's the lahem? So it's also interesting that it assumes that the angels are masculine. Right. So she says, "So go ahead." She says, "Fine." So that seems to, very good. That seems to be what you just thought of that, or. Good. Look at source 11 now. The Chizkuni, Hashem aleihem et mehayam uvnei Yisrael hochu biyabasha betoch hayam az batikach mimir nevia achot Aaron. He say no. This goes together, which goes very close to what you just now said. Look, go back to source number 4 again to see what's bothering him. It says. The Shira ends, Kivosus Paro Bukhov or Shav Bayam via Shava Shamalem et Mea Yam of Neisrael Chubu Yabashabitochayam, which the reality is that's part of the song. Vatikachman, Ranaviachot Arono, Tov Biada, Vatetsena, Vakola Nashimacharebetupimachalot, Vatan Lahim Miriam. It sounds very much that the Schuni said exactly what you just now said, that she is saying this to the men that just now came up. Now, let's take a look. At page 6, this last piece from the Vilna Gaon, Vatan le Miriam shir l'Hashem kigoga asus v'chor rabayam. Vatan lahem Miriam, you have it on page 6, last paragraph. Midayek hagrazal hare lahem hu lashon zachar v'lahen aitat zricha l'kra. It should have said to them, to the women, ligvarot. Va'od ma'o lashon vata'an, halo aniya mashmuta, amira mityaches, to mashiva li mira acheret. Vata'an, the Vilna Gaon believes, it means a response. Imkein yuter haya ra'uy lichtov, vatomar. Ela kevin shekol be'isha erva, this goes back to, again, what's politically, lo yachlu anashim lashir, l'chein vata'an le'miriam, la'anashim shiru la'ashem kigo aga'a, klomer, atem ra'uy lachem lashir of anashim rak, Tigana bitupim. So, over here, even though this was one of the many places which is which was brought during this whole argument called Bisha Erev and not, that, oh, but Miriam got up and sang, and all the women sang right there, and the women danced. It's used all the time. And over here, the Gra is claiming, but he's not the first. He's claiming, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say they sang. It says that they banged the two payments. It says they danced, but it does. The one thing which is missing is actually saying they sang. Now, if we put this together, this sounds to be what the Chizkuni already said. If you put it together, then who is she saying this to? And I think this is what you were suggesting. Who is she saying this to? She's saying this to the second group of men that just now came through. Because the first group of men, they're the ones who are already singing. But the last group of men are the ones who aren't necessarily. Why? What's the problem with the last group? They're the ones who didn't have the emunah to begin with. So Miriam now is turning to the last group of men and saying, Shiru Lashem ki gol ga'ah, that you need to be singing and thanking God for what just now happened, that this was in fact a miracle. As I said, that I'm gonna get yelled at in Matan by saying that women weren't singing and women weren't this, but it sounds to be, actually, you can decide if this is better or what's worse. It seems to be that Miriam, it's also interesting, it's Hanaviyah. She's standing up as a prophetess. What does a prophet do? A prophet points and says, there's Yad Hashem over here. So here the question is she simply leading the women in song? Which, by the way, it does sound she's leading the women in something, but the question is, who is she addressing? And that's not a simple problem in the text. The easiest way, if you want to assume that she's talking, is that the lachem is lav dafka. And even though it should have been lachen, right? But tikach mimar neviyah achot aron atatov biyadav etetzena kol neshorecha betupim echlod vatan lahim, Miriam, it should have been lahen. Right, right. I'm saying you could say it means everybody. But vata'an is still this problem because it sounds like it's responding to something else. So therefore, and this sounds to be already the Chizkuni who says this, is that no, the vatan lahem is a response to those who just now came up onto the shore. So what's really the main thing that I wanted to get to? The main thing is that even though normally when we read this, we end up having, you know, there's one Am Yisrael, and the one Am Yisrael does everything together. When we go back and saw from the, it's actually from the Psukim, but it's the Ramban correctly noticing either a psychotic response, either they're praying to God with faith, or they're complaining to Moshe with no faith. So the Ramban points out, Am Yisrael is made up of different pieces, and some are praying to God, and some are complaining, and that's the way it was, and unfortunately, that's the way that it still seems to be. The Gra then takes this and follows this all the way through, and therefore he uses this to reconcile the two different ways that it's phrased, whether they're in the dry land in the sea, or in the sea in the dry land, and therefore you end up two different things. This idea of Pesach Micha being thrown into the mix as well, and therefore having this core of the thought of Avodah Zarah also becomes quite interesting, but at least you saw how the Vilna Gaon thought. He now sees if Yehuda's first, then Dan is last. If Dan is last, then that's Pesach Micha, and you have the same marching form. Meaning, again, then he starts putting this whole thing together. The marching formations from the desert, Pesach Micha, which will be introduced later on in Sefer Shoftim, but it's this collecting all the Masef Kol HaMachanot, collecting all the hangers-on, which therefore has the implication of the Erev Rav as well, and all the philosophy of the Erev Rav also gets then included within Dan, and that's where this various negativity goes. And therefore, when you realize that according to the Vilna Gaon's understanding, it is Dan and the Erev Rav and Pesach Micha, so then the angels complain, you know, what's the difference between these and these? That's only on the second group. The first group, the Nachshon, who jumps in, and, you know, Acharai, and so on and so forth, then that's a completely different philosophy. And along the way, yeah, but it's saying it's that gets manifest centuries later, but the, yeah, it's an antecedent. That's the worst claim, is that the philosophy of it is here, even though, again, he readily says it's not here yet. And then along the line, we also have this great line in the Gemara telling Moshe, stop praying and go already, and there's a time to pray and there's a time to act, and now's the time to act. So that was also quite interesting. Okay, so enjoy your vacation next week.